You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into this Friday episode of Flippin' Bats. We got a ton to talk about today. Panic or patience? Alex is going to give me some player names, team names, and I'm going to say whether you got to be patient or you should be panicking right now. Tale of the tape, we got a great series to talk about. Twitter questions, this one's going to be a blast. Let's get to it.
It's a blowout. It's in 10-3. Bases are loaded for Verlander, who waits out of 3-0. He swings, and it's a high fly ball, deep center field. It is gone. Home run. And a huge bat flip to celebrate. All right, Ben, start the show already.
What is up, my friends? Happy Friday, everybody. I am joined, as always, by Alex Curry. And I'm just going to be honest. It's Friday. I don't know what's going to happen. Things are going to get off the rails. Last Friday, we were taking shots.
Birthday shots.
It was Alex's birthday. The Friday before, I don't even remember what happened, but things are just crazy on Fridays.
It was funny. You dropped your first F-bomb the Friday before.
Oh, first F-bomb. I didn't make a big, well, people didn't, in the moment, I don't think they knew that, but yeah, first F-word. Since then, I think just, you know, once the first one.
Fridays are fun. I'm like, we're grooving, we're moving, we're having a fun time. It's happy. It's good vibes. We're like, we're almost there to the weekend.
Yes, we are almost there to the weekend. It's also a big week slash weekend.
Yeah.
Because the MLB Draft League starts over the weekend, and Kasumba Dennis is a part
of it. Do you have updates for us?
I have updates on him.
Yeah, please.
I have Kasumba Dennis updates. He has made it to the United States, and I was in contact with the person that has been kind of in contact with him over here a lot. We've been going back and forth, and I believe he's an attorney in the Georgia area, and he's kind of been the one helping him throughout a lot of this process. I was talking to him. He met him at the – he went flew into the Georgia airport first, the Atlanta airport. And he emailed me right after some pictures. He has made it. He said he was very overwhelmed. Well, and I can only imagine. I mean
– the culture shock.
The culture shock. You come into the Atlanta airport. He said when he got on the train and was pretty scared and uncertain of the train and – it's just kind of mind-blowing to me that literally, like, as we speak, he's, like, starting baseball games. It's crazy to me. And I am so excited for him to be over here and to be playing in these games and in front of coaches and scouts and, again, updates throughout this whole process. But he is here. He has made it to the United States. And the MLB Draft League is getting underway.
It's crazy because when you saw all of his viral videos that he was posting in the streets, in the rain, in the dark, knowing that some days he would go without food, to then immediately land in the United States to a crazy airport, probably more people than he's seen in one area in his life, with just American consumerism everywhere. I can't even imagine how overwhelming that would be, but I just wish him so much luck, all the positive vibes, all the love. Kasumba, we are rooting for you. You made this happen. You put yourself out there. You made incredible videos. And I just can't wait to see you shine. And I hope he shines.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped to watch him. That's for sure. Yeah. So good news there. He's made it. Things are getting underway. His first game is against the Trenton Thunder. Like, that's a big time, like, team. It was a part of minor league baseball. It was one of those teams. It's not anymore, but he's still like playing in that stadium. It's quite the journey that he is on right now, but I am excited to talk to him. I have his, the guy that I mentioned earlier gave Kasumba a phone and put my number in there. So we've reached out to
Mr.
each
ben.
Other. Yeah. I texted him the other day and he goes, "Mr. Ben, I've been meaning to talk to you."
Aww.
And he's the best. So,
I love that.
Alex, we do panic or patience today.
Yes, we do.
But before we do that,
yeah,
I just have to say,
yeah,
my favorite player,
yeah,
Corbin Carroll, Well, one of the
I mean,
I have many.
The driver of the bandwagon.
The driver of the bandwagon. I just have to say one thing, because I watch games, and I just think, this guy is so good, and I'm so happy that I'm driving the bandwagon.
I watch games, you think?
I watch a few. I've watched a few games this year. Let me just say this. Corbin Carroll, who I was all in on before the year. I mean, every time I talked about him, you looked
Pre-season.
At me like, Ben, shut up already. I probably talked about him more than I should have. First Diamondbacks player ever with multiple games of two or more stolen bases and one or more home runs in the same season. It's June. It's the beginning of June. Only seven players in Major League Baseball have done that since 2010, and no one has three such games since 2002. It's the beginning of June, and Corbin Carroll could be the first player in Major League Baseball to do this since 2002. Multiple games of two or more stolen bases and a home run in the same season.
I mean, as a pseudo-father, you probably are very proud.
You know what's cool? He was on the show,
yeah,
and I just out of nowhere came up with the nickname MVPCC.
Yeah.
Most Valuable Player, Corbin Carroll, and asked him about it because I had just started saying it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, what do you think about my nickname for you, MVPCC? He goes, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to call myself that, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's all I needed. MVPCC, he's rolling, and so is our bandwagon.
Did you tell him that you got a lot of fan Twitter comments about how much you look like his dad?
I did tell him that.
What was his reaction?
He goes, I kind of see it.
Yeah, I know. We all kind of see it.
I honestly feel like people, you know, like, people will say all the time, like, oh, you look like so-and-so.
Yeah.
And the person that, like, when somebody sells that to you, you're like, well,
it never totally feels good.
But, like, I saw that
picture
of Corbin Carroll's dad, and I was like,
yeah.
Well, that might be me in 20 years.
Hey, everyone saw that.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, well, congrats to Corbin Carroll. We don't need to panic about him. Let's get into these players and teams. And, Ben, you tell us if it's time to panic.
Okay.
Or just have a little patience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get started with Alek Manoah.
Alek Manoah, Toronto Blue Jays, I'm panicking.
Oof.
How could you not at this point? I mean, he was a Cy Young favorite, comes into the league, has been one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball since he's come up. And this year he's sitting at 1-6 with a 5.46 ERA. And for me, the reason I'm panicking is because he almost has as many walks this year as he did all of last season. All of last year. Man, this is a quote. Alek Manoah's most revealing quote from tonight regarding his 2023 struggles. The mindset of don't throw a ball here instead of throw a strike here is it's a difference maker. Right now, I'm stuck in the don't throw a ball here mindset. And, you know, that this is interesting because I spoke about this before, how Alek Manoah, the walks are alarming, right? And truly, through his, it's the beginning of June, he has almost as many walks this year as he did all of last season. And to me, the problem starts becoming, is Alek Manoah a good pitcher? Clearly, the problem starts becoming, this is mental. Something mental is going on here because the guy is just missing badly. And, you know, there will be a full count and he'll spike a pitch. He's missing badly there. He has 25 walks in his last seven starts. A 1.95 whip in those seven starts. That means almost two batters per inning are getting on base. And a lot of those via the walk. This is a big problem with Alek Manoah. And to me, I do believe we've seen the stuff is there. We've seen the pitchability is there. We know he can be good. To me, why I'm saying panic is because mentally, he's clearly in his head. And as he just mentioned, when somebody tells you, or when you start telling yourself, don't throw a ball here, you throw a ball. When you tell yourself, throw a strike here, you're in a much better mindset. Man, so often in my minor league career, and this is why I struggled to look back on my career, is because there were times where I was very, very good and an all-star and player of the month in the league, and there were times where I was the complete opposite of that. And when I was going poorly, my mindset goes to, okay, I'm 0 for 3 today. I can't strike out here. And then naturally you do. Whereas when you're going well, your mindset is, I just want to get in the box and just throw a pitch in my general vicinity, and I'm going to hit it hard somewhere. And the fact that he's in this mind space right now is the reason that I am panicking about Alek Manoah. This is not good. Walks up. Mechanically, something has to be going on there. And mentally, something has to be going on there as well. But we talked about it in yesterday's show with one of the segments we talked about. But Smoltz comes on Saturday. And one of the things I do ask him about is Alek Manoah and his struggles so far this year. And as a Hall of Famer himself, what he sees from Alek Manoah going on the mound. So let's check that out.
I remember talking him through the All-Star game, and his attitude and everything about what he did last year just seemed like he had arrived and had confidence through the roof and could throw the ball where he wanted to. And it just seems like, not seeing a lot of his starts, I'm just looking at stats, the walks are way too high. And in this league, when you have the new rules and the walks and the ability to take bases, and it's not the old kind of like slug it, walk, strike out, homer, I think that's a little bit alarming.
Yeah, I think he nails it. And we went on to have a pretty good in-depth conversation there about Alek Manoah and what's going on. So, again, Saturday with Smoltz. Every single Saturday, John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, joins me talking about different topics from around the league. We talk this. We talk, will a pitcher ever reach 300 wins? But I agree with him on Alek Manoah. I do believe it's mental. And I also think something interesting here, I don't know how much it's playing into it. Maybe this plays into the mental aspect of things. In terms of pace for pitchers, he was one of the worst, and not worst, one of the slowest in baseball. So now this year with these new rules, and you don't have the time to be slow.
The pitch clock.
Where is he with that as well? So I'm panicking with Alek Manoah.
And just to put it into perspective, numbers-wise, from 2022 to 2023, mm-hmm. at this point in the season, okay? Last year, he was 7-1 with a 1.81 ERA, 61 strikeouts, and 13 walks.
Okay.
This season, 1-6 with a 5.46 ERA, 48 strikeouts to 41 walks.
41 walks to 13 walks
yes.
at this point last year.
Yes. It's brutal. It's time to panic.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't typically panic. The problem is, I think it's also mental, and the game of baseball is so mental. And when you get to a point where it's in your head, which clearly it is, that's where I really start to panic with a player. So panicking about Alek Manoah.
All right. Moving on. Panic or be patient with Sandy Alcantara?
I'm going to be patient here with the NL Cy Young Award winner from last year. Again, the numbers aren't great. They're not quite. The walk numbers aren't as alarming as they are with Alek Manoah, but they are a bit. It's a bit of a cause for concern. Through his first nine starts last year, 2.11 ERA in 59.2 innings, 7.4 Ks per nine, and only 3 walks per nine. This year, through nine starts, 5.05 ERA, 2.7 walks per game, 8.5 strikeouts per game. So again, the walks aren't a huge issue for me, which is why this leads me to, let's be patient with Sandy. I do believe he's going to be okay. I found the issue with Sandy was looking through, you know, when I was getting ready for this segment and how I wanted to talk about him. The big, big alarming difference this year. Last year, Sandy's changeup was his second most used pitch It is this year as well. It's other than his 98 mile an hour sinker, he uses his changeup a lot. Last year, opponents were hitting just 145 off of that pitch. This year, opponents are hitting 327 off of that pitch.
Figured it out.
That is a concern. So he needs to figure out that changeup and what he's doing with it, what he was doing last year, how to be better with it. Maybe he's tipping with it. I don't know. I'm being patient with Sandy. He's a workhorse. He's really good. The walks, he's going to figure all of that out, I believe. So I'm saying be patient.
All right. Moving on to a pair of Phillies, Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber. Are we panicking or are you being patient?
So I think this goes with all Phillies.
Okay.
Every team.
All right.
I think I'm gonna pick a different answer here than most people are thinking, especially Phillies fans. I'm saying be patient with the Phillies.
That's what I was gonna say too. So I thought you were gonna panic.
Be patient.
Yeah.
First off, first and foremost, they did this last year.
Yep.
Should I remind everybody where they ended up last year?
Yep.
In fact, they were a good bit worse at this point last year than they are this year. Last year, June 2nd, they were 22-29, 12 games out of first place and 6 games back of a wild card spot. Right now, they're 25-30, not as bad, 7.5 games out of the division and 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. So I'm saying don't panic because, one, it's the National League and there hasn't been a lot of teams in the National League that have said, hey, we're going to take this and run. Other than the division winners, really there's some – other than the division leaders and the D-backs, we're seeing a lot of struggling around the league. So the Phillies are just fine. I do worry about Trey Turner, who's hitting .236, and I really worry about Kyle Schwarber, who's hitting .163. This is one of the crazier stats in baseball right now.
Okay.
Over his last 29 games.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber has 2 singles. 2.
Ugh.
Over 29 games. 2 singles. He had 10 hits in the entire month of May. 31 hits on the entire season, which amongst 164 qualified hitters, only 2 have less than Kyle Schwarber. Joey Weimer and Tristan Casas.
Do you know what Schwarber's batting over the last week?
Over the last week? No.
087. .087.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, that's
not
bad.
Not good. Be patient with the Phillies. I will even say be patient with these guys. Do I think Trey Turner is going to hit .230 all year long? Do I think Kyle Schwarber is going to hit .160 with 10 hits in a month all year long? No. Kyle Schwarber is probably one of the more streaky hitters in the game. And when he gets hot, he'll hit 10 homers in a week. I'm not worried about the Phillies. It's time to go. But luckily, you're in the National League where nobody's really taken those wild card spots and run with it. I'm going to say be patient.
All right. Our final panic or be patient, the Mariners.
So for me, this is a patience. But I will say it is not far from being a panic.
Okay.
They are above 500. Good. Fine. But fourth place in the division, a lot of teams to jump in the AL West. That's a bit of a concern. Also, the reason this is close to a panic, clearly they are playing better than the Phillies, right? But two different leagues. So you want to start talking how many spots are available for AL wildcard? Well, there will be 3. Okay, let's talk AL East for a second. How many teams in the AL East are going to be in the playoffs? 3? 4? How many teams are ahead of the Mariners in the AL West? You still have the Angels, you still have the Astros, and you still have the Rangers. You're running out of room.
Yeah.
You're running out of room. If you let's just say, for the sake of argument, let's look at the AL West only. Maybe they can jump the Angels this year, but the Angels are playing pretty well right now. You have the Rangers, who I do believe are going to be a playoff team. Do I believe they can hold off the Astros? I don't know. But in terms of this conversation, it doesn't matter. Alex, it doesn't matter if which team wins the division. The Astros and the Rangers are very good teams, and one of them is going to be above you.
Yeah.
Then let's jump over to the AL East, where you have the Rays, the Yankees, the Jays, the Red Sox, the Orioles. You have to be better.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to be top 3 of the non-division winners, and we're already in June, and we're running out of room. There's plenty of time, but there's plenty of really good baseball teams. So I'm saying be patient here because I do believe they're a good team. Pitching has been elite. The Mariners ranked 25th out of 30 teams offensively, though, which to me is the big problem. 6th worst OPS, but they are the 3rd best pitching in the game of baseball. So pitching-wise, I think it can carry them. And Julio's heating up.
So when do you start to panic?
Well, you All-star start break? To panic post All-Star break.
Post All-Star break.
Post All-Star break. Yeah. Okay. When you look at the, you start looking wild card post All-Star break.
Okay.
And that wild card is not going to be a fun place for the Mariners to look.
No.
But Julio is heating up.
Julio!
That's a big reason why I am saying with the Mariners, be patient because the offense will come along. Julio is coming along. The superstar that is Julio Rodriguez is back, my friends. And that is one of the reasons I'm saying be patient. Another reason, Alex?
Yeah.
Julio's! I got my own pack of Julio's,
are
and we're going to try them right here on this Friday show. And honestly?
Yeah?
Oh, boy.
What?
Opening cereal
here
isn't easy. What do you mean, go?
Like, you take the two sides, and you open. You want me to do it for you?
No.
Don't tell me what to do, Benny. Yeah, there you go.
No,
you
it doesn't go. Work. This.
Yes, you can. I believe in you.
This is gonna. Julio's are gonna. Oh, it's open.
Okay.
Okay.
See.
All right, I'm gonna try Julio's.
It looks like Fruit Loops.
Okay. First update. These are Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops.
Okay.
I'm gonna put them back in the. You need the full experience.
Okay.
Of Julio's. Look at this box. First off. Great box.
Almost as good as yours.
Julio's. Great. Now I'm going to try them. I would give you some, Alex, but...
They're not gluten-free.
They're not gluten-free.
I know.
Great.
I mean, you're the junk food kid, so of course you think they're great.
They're great.
Yeah?
And this is why you need to be patient with a Mariner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Go get your Julio's. Mm. They're incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you get them where all cereals are sold? Or is it just just like a
Julio's.
Seattle thing?
Visit your local marketplace in Seattle and pick some up, and it goes to a very good cause, which is true.
Okay.
Some of the proceeds go to a very good cause. I wonder if it mentions it on here. The mission. See, we talked about this last week. I had my own box of cereal called Fruit Benjamins.
Yeah.
And on the side of mine, I just put free lesson with the Justin Verlander. This is when he was in college. Julio's is much better than that. The mission. It is my goal to be an inspiration for the next generation of kids in Seattle, the Dominican Republic, and across the world. A portion of all proceeds from Julio's will go towards our continued support of underprivileged youth in Seattle and the Dominican Republic. Thank you for your support, Julio.
Epic.
I mean, they're great.
Good job, Julio.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Fastball flakes as well. We got that. That was Justin's cereal.
This is great.
Back in his day. So those were Frosted Flakes.
Delicious.
And these are Fruit Loops. But these are really good.
Yeah,
I like these. Good work, Julio. Good work.
All right.
Be patient with the Mariners.
Okay. That's fair. Moving on to one of our favorite segments, things that make you go, You ready for the first one? Are you done eating?
I took another bite. They're really good.
I know you did. You good?
I'm ready.
You take a sip of water?
Nope, don't have
any. Okay. All right. Our first things that make you go, Noah Syndergaard's comments about his recent pitching.
Yeah, this is quite the statement. Noah Syndergaard has not been very good this year for the Dodgers. And after his outing just a couple of days ago, said, and I quote, "I would give my hypothetical firstborn to be the old me again. I'll do anything possible to get back to that."
This is absurd.
Absolutely absurd. I will say it's sad, but it's a bit much. I mean,
I don't care how much you love sports. It is absolutely crazy and absurd to say that you would give up a child, a life, to play a sport like that. Like the actual literal, I don't think he meant it.
Yeah,
I hope he didn't mean it literally.
He also
more
doesn't
of,
have a kid. So it,
you I, don't understand.
I also think as a father, you wouldn't make this comment
never,
to begin with.
Never.
He clearly didn't. I don't think Noah Syndergaard literally means I would have a child and I would give it up to pitch back. I just think he's in his feels.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's
but it
sad.
Is a bit much. I mean,
that's trading a life for something just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, that's thinking a little too deep into it. That's what he means.
What he said.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it was hypothetical.
All right.
I agree. Yeah. I do agree. Like, it's a little much.
That is a little much.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to our next things that make you go, The Braves losing the series to the A's.
Not just the A's. It's one of the worst teams of all time.
I know.
And the Atlanta Braves, who were the best team in the National League, had gone through a bit of a tough spell. And then they go into Oakland and lose 2 of 3 and get walked off by the Oakland A's. Look, it's baseball. Anything can happen. But you can't lose a series to the A's. Like, in theory, that's a good statement with baseball. Anything can happen. Yeah, anything can happen until you play the Oakland A's. Like, then that's when you get things under control and get back to winning baseball. I don't know how that happened. The swinging A's. Are the A's back?
The A's are 12-46 with a .207 percentage, and they are 24 and a half games out of first place.
24 and a half. I mean, I guess the question is, are the A's back?
No.
Are the A's back? I saw something the other day.
Okay.
I think this was Friday heading into that series, that if the Oakland A's won every game for the rest of the season, they could break the all-time wins record. But it was to that point. Like, they still had a chance, but they couldn't lose another game. So as of right now, the A's lost one. So they're off the – they can no longer break the all-time wins record. But are the A's back?
No.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we're sticking on the A's topic for our next things that make An A's fan jumped onto the field and rounded the bases, and nobody stopped him.
I've never seen anything like this.
We watched this together on our drive to Dodger Stadium. Just like, wait, what?
Just jumped out there onto the field. I believe it was actually post-game this happened, where they're redoing, they're prepping the field, getting it ready for the
grounds
next game.
Grounds crew cleans it after every
grounds
game.
Grounds crew out there. Security still around.
Standing.
And this guy jumps the fence, runs the bases backwards, might I add.
Yeah.
And nobody does anything. Nope.
Stop after he touched third base. Was like, huh, that was cool.
I think the one thing, I literally think the guy that was raking third base when he got all the way around, I think the guy like stuck out his rake to like maybe try and trip him, but not really.
No.
And then the guy just runs away. I couldn't believe it. There's not a single stadium in all of baseball where this would fly.
Where that kid wouldn't be immediately tackled, handcuffed, and taken off by security and police.
Crazy. Nobody would have stopped it. What if he just, like, rounded the bases, got to first base, and went into the clubhouse? Like, nobody was stopping him.
It's just like everyone involved in the A's organization right now just degaffs. Weird. That was just weird.
What does DGAF mean, Alex? I said my first F word.
Don't give a blank.
A blank. Oh my God. You're a sailor. You cuss like a sailor.
Yeah, but not publicly. You gotta keep it clean for the kids.
Yeah.
Man.
So that one was just like,
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it is. It's like
it's sad
to see the situation in Oakland. It's sad to see ownership doing. We've been down this road. I don't need to talk about it, but it's just like.
Yeah, our next one is pretty too.
Okay.
This is sad.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
MLB taking over the Padres broadcast, meaning Bally Sports San Diego and all the people that work for that company no longer have a job.
Yeah, this is a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a huge mess. Manfred said of Rob Manfred, Commissioner Manfred, of this situation said, they notified us literally less than 24 hours before they went off the air.
What?
Yeah. Said they weren't even notified. And now there's like hearings about this whole process between Bally slash like Diamond and Major League Baseball. And a lawyer for Bally's said that they offered to broadcast Padres games through June 30th. And Rob Manfred said, I am not familiar with that offer. So it's just like, what is going on? And there's been a lot of talk about bankruptcy and how Bally's going to continue.
Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy.
And Major League Baseball kind of had a plan in place of what they would do. So what they're doing is stepping in and taking over the broadcasting and putting it on MLB TV. It's just a mess. And I say that because this would be good in theory if they're just like, all right, we'll take this over. You can watch Padres games for free. But if you have the MLB TV package outside of San Diego, you can obviously watch the Padres. But now, if you're in the San Diego area, you need to buy the single team package for the Padres to be able to watch. It's just a mess.
It's heartbreaking. It's hard because I worked for Bally Sports West, formerly Fox Sports West, for 10 years. So I know a lot of these people. I've worked with a lot of these people. And what you said, 24 hours, that means all these people that were putting on this broadcast, from the on-air talent to the broadcasters to the camera to the lighting to the audio, now all out of work.
Yeah. I do ultimately believe that this is going to be a positive.
All right.
We've had these talks with Bally and Diamond since the beginning of the season. It was like, hey, they're going bankrupt. Figure out a plan. I don't think the current plan is in place. I think what this is ultimately going to do is force Major League Baseball's hand to move faster on this situation.
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer, but I know the current status quo of, hey, how do I watch a baseball game?
Yeah.
And me, who watches every baseball game and has watched games for years, to have the answer of, well, who's the team? What day is it? It's complicated. Maybe you can't watch it. Like, that's not acceptable, I don't think.
No.
And the direction this game is heading, which is really good direction, really good players. We talked about it yesterday, the marketing agreement that's so positive between Major League Baseball and Players Incorporated and partnerships and all of that. Everything's heading in such a good direction. We need to figure out how to be able to watch games in a more simple way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the MLS just did? A deal with Apple TV, Apple TV Plus. If you have it, you can watch every single MLS game in one place. I don't know what the answer is for Major League Baseball, but having games on regional networks if you live in that region, you can't watch those games on MLB TV. And then you're going to be blacked out from them if you are. But some of these games are going to be on Apple, and some of them are going to be on Peacock. And we'll tell you, you know, it's like, it's so hard to just watch your favorite team.
Yep.
Why? That's not helping baseball. So I do believe over the last few years, and Commissioner Manfred has spoke about this, his goal is to figure something out.
Yeah.
And I do think that this situation is going to force the hand for things to be figured out a bit faster. That's
hope so.
I hope is the silver lining here.
So I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I can't.
Yeah.
But I think we're
You're
now
hopeful.
We're into the tunnel.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I can't see the light at the end of it, but I think this
you're
situation
in the darkness.
Now we're in the dark.
You're in your darkness retreat.
We're in it. You know you're in a tunnel.
Yeah.
Now it's just gonna force us to dig out a bit quicker.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to our next things that make you go, Jose Abreu hits his first home run with the Astros.
He did
it. It's about damn time.
He did it. Hey, there you go.
Cool.
Alex is cussing now. Now we're rolling. Jose, I think we talked about this last week.
We
Jose
did.
Abreu didn't yet have a home run, which is wild. Finally got his first one in Oakland, and the way he went about it was awesome.
Epic.
Sprinted around the bases. I mean, sprinted and then slid into the dugout. Feet first into the dugout. It was great. Congrats, Jose Abreu. I said this last week, where there's one, there's 50.
Yeah.
So he's about to go on a big tear.
Like,
I mean, big.
Like you said, he sprinted around the bases, but he sprinted past home plate,
yeah,
full speed slide into the dugout.
I loved it.
It was great.
Great situation.
Good
energy.
Good
for him. Mentally, that's an exhausting thing on you. Like,
yeah.
you needed one.
You just
now
needed
can
to get
relax
the monkey off your back.
Yeah, now I can relax a little bit.
Okay. Moving on to our next things that make you go, Umpire gets in Jeremy Pena's face.
Oh, my God. I forgot. I forgot. This is so frustrating.
It
So frustrating. How many times am I going to need to sit here and talk about umpires? I don't even want to talk about umpires. If you know an umpire's name, they're doing something wrong. If you go to a game and you leave that game without talking about a single umpire, they have done a fantastic job. But it seems like all year long, umpires are just finding a way to put their stamp on games. And this past week, this week has been more showcasing of that. In the Astros game, Jerry Lane behind the plate. Okay, let me set up the situation. Jeremy Peña takes a pitch, doesn't like the call, kind of in his own respectful way. Jeremy Peña is not like a flashy, I'm going to yell at you. Like, in his own way, told the umpire he disagreed with his call. Jerry Lane moves from out behind the catcher into the batter's box of Jeremy Peña and gets up into his face, instigating a situation. And from there, of course, the Astros dugout starts screaming at the umpire. Like, what are you doing? This is not a way to go about umpiring. And then throws people out in the dugout.
It's not his place. It's not an umpire's place, especially a veteran umpire like Jerry Lane. You should know. It is not your place to get in a player's face. It's inappropriate.
I really am so tired, Alex, of talking about umpires. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Be better, but I'm not saying be perfect. Just get out of your own way. Like, get your ego out of it. Stop trying to put your fingerprint on the game. You know what's happening this year around Major League Baseball? Attendance is higher than it has been in years. Attendance is great this year. And you know what? Not a single person is buying a ticket to watch Jerry Lane.
No.
Nobody. Not a single person is there saying, oh, we got a great matchup tonight. Jerry Lane is behind the plate, and we got CB Buckner over at first base. No! Nobody's there to watch you. Do your job. Get a call wrong. It's fine. We got replay. But get your ego out of it. Stop getting in players' faces. Stop doing things that make me go, Just stop it.
You know what we should do? We should send these umps to be the Savannah Banana umpires. If they want that kind of attention, you get a spotlight on you. You get a dance break moment. You get to be center stage.
I'm gonna go to next. You know what I should have done?
Huh?
Next game I go to, I'm going to figure out who the umpires are and make a sign and have all the umpires. And, like, I'll do the wave for you, Alex. It can be a full ump show.
Because like
that's
that.
What they want.
It is.
They want an ump show.
They do.
Like, what is he doing getting in the face of Jeremy Peña? Come on. I don't even want to talk about umpires as much as I do. But it's ridiculous to get into a player's face, instigate a situation, and then start throwing people out. You're not perfect. Nobody's expecting umpires to be perfect.
Mm-mm.
Jeremy Peña is not expecting him to be perfect. But you got to be able to take a player saying, hey, man, that was a bad call. Or even like a cuss word or two in there. Because it's going to happen.
Yep.
Come on. It's so frustrating.
Let it go. Okay. Take a bite of your Julio's. Let's like get you on a better...
Julio. Julio's.
Let's get you in a better mood here. And our last things that make you go... is a feel good. So we're switching the mood up. Detroit Tigers bark at the park.
Did we strategically put this here because you knew I'd be hot after the umpire thing?
No, but like I need this in my life. Look at this. You get to bring your dogs to the ballpark. And they do this three times throughout the year. May 30th just happened against the Rangers. They'll have it August 29th against the Yankees and September 13th against the Reds.
Oh, yeah, they're doing it soon in San Diego. They're doing it, I think it's in like a couple of weeks. This is my favorite thing at baseball stadiums.
Look how cute those little buddies are.
They do it in the minor leagues, and it was always the best game because, like, if you foul a ball off in the stands, the loud sound of the ball, like, landing in the stands, like, half the bleachers would just start barking.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so great, but it's, like, kind of tough to hit because you're like, oh, great, I just hit a foul ball. Now the stadium's just going to start barking. And they all do, and then, you know, I'm trying to face 100, and everybody's barking.
I love it. It's so cute.
The best part of this is there was a dog in the stands.
Yeah.
I was wearing a helmet. I'm not exactly sure why. but it was so cute. He was just wearing a helmet. Just a great, just great. I really love Bark in the Park nights.
Yeah. We both have fur babies, so it's like, we need this.
Yep.
Somewhere close that we can go see.
Yep.
And that wraps up our things that make you go,
These Julios are great, by the way.
I know. Keep munching them.
Well, I don't want to be too loud in the mic.
You have a smile on your face when you're eating them. It's keeping you in a good mood. You take one more bite, as I said.
No, I don't want to eat in the microphone, you know?
Okay.
You know what? You get us to the next segment.
That's what I'm saying. You have one more. And we're getting ready for Tale of the Tape. This week, we are doing the Dodgers against the Yankees here in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. I think it's our Saturday Fox game as well. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, this is epic. What this would be a broadcaster's, I guess, network's dream World
Series. Yeah, I mean,
Series.
It's the Yankees and the Dodgers. Yeah. You know, it's like, there's a big series. So last week we did Rangers-Orioles. We both had the exact same picks until I decided at the end to, you know what, I'll take the Orioles in the series.
And I took
They did not win. The Rangers went into Baltimore and won a big series there. So
and I took the Rangers. So I won last week.
Yeah.
Things
so
2-1.
You're up one. Yeah. You're up one series. So we got Dodgers, Yankees, and we'll start with offense.
Well, who you got?
I'm gonna take the Dodgers offense.
Okay.
Mookie, Freddie. Freddie's hitting almost 350 double-digit home runs now. Mookie's heating up big time. He's coming off a homer. Freddie coming off a couple homers recently. I really like their lineup. I think it's more of a complete lineup, especially with like the Yankees missing Giancarlo Stanton. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Dodgers don't have Aaron Judge, who will play a big factor in this series. But from top to bottom, I'm going to take the Dodgers lineup.
I also took the Dodgers. Okay. A lot of the reasons you just mentioned, Freddie Freeman just this last week, last 7 days, batting .520. I mean, he is on fire. As you mentioned, Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, also home run king. What, 17 home runs on the season, tied for third in all of Major League Baseball. But the numbers also don't lie for this team. They are top in offensive numbers in a lot of categories. They are third in Major League Baseball in runs per game, second in home runs, second in extra base hits, first in walks, third in slugging, and third in OPS.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right now, they're one of the top offensive teams in the league.
I agree with you. Besides calling Max Muncy a home run king, because what place did you say he's in?
Third. Tied for third.
Yeah. Third. King.
Third.
King.
Yeah.
Third?
He's I didn't say the. He was leading at one point in the season. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to defense.
Defense. What you got? New York Yankees, number one defense in baseball, defensive runs saved. Anthony Volpe might be struggling at the plate, but defensively, very, very good. IKF, good as well. Anthony Rizzo, great over at first base. Jose Trevino, platinum glove winner last year behind home plate. Judge is great in the outfield. A bazooka for an arm. Everywhere you look, good defense, and then you look down, and you see number one in defensive run saves, and you think, that makes sense. So Yankees for me.
Cool. I'm going Dodgers, and I'm going to throw some numbers at you, okay?
Throw them.
Dodgers fielding percentage, 10th best in Major League Baseball.
Oh, the Kings.
The Kings. Yankees are 22nd best.
In what?
Fielding percentage.
Oh, that's a...
Errors, 10th fewest. The Dodgers, 22nd fewest. For the Yankees.
You're pointing at me like I'm playing.
You picked the Yankees.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, I'm going Dodgers. Here we go.
You went the old school.
I did.
Old school numbers.
I did.
I went, who's saving runs?
There you go.
The Yankees. Better than anybody else. Give me
the
Yankees.
There's no wrong way to pick a team.
There is a wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Both our points are valid. Let's move on to manager. Who you got?
Both, yep, 10th best, the Kings.
Yep.
10th best. manager, oh, this one's tough. I don't like this at all.
I know you don't.
I don't like this at all.
You didn't.
What am I at the pick between Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone?
Two of the people that you have hit so hard in the postseason. Last season, I think they were the two managers that you beat on the most.
Yeah, I think beat on's a bit of a strong term. I don't really like it. Not much negativity going on here, but I have been critical.
Critical.
Of
there
both.
You go.
Yeah, critical.
That's the better word.
You've killed them both.
No.
I've been critical of both of them because I believe there's been need. There's
so
been a need for both
so
of them.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with Dave Roberts. I'll take the Dodgers here. I mean, he has a World Series. Aaron Boone does not. I think the Dodgers should have like three or four, and I think Dave Roberts has pushed some buttons that have resulted in them not doing that. And Aaron Boone not getting to a World Series in over a decade with a Yankees team that's really talented. This is a good old stink off, and I'm going to take the Dodgers and Dave Roberts.
I also took Dave Roberts and the Dodgers. Now, you may not agree with his postseason coaching style.
This is the most Alex board I've ever
seen. You're welcome. But as you mentioned, he won a World Series. He was a 2016 Manager of the Year in his first season with the Dodgers. As we know, the Dodgers have won 9 of the last 10 seasons. They've won the NL West. 6 of 7, Dave's been there. So he's a great regular season manager. He figured it out one season in the postseason, but that's better than Boone's done.
Yeah, I mean, I won't
argue
with you.
Better than Boone's done.
But say, like, great regular season manager. Your team is full of MVP. They're doing,
yep.
They're like, you just, like, put a lineup together, and then the team goes out and is one of the best teams in the game of baseball, and one of the best teams of the last decade. And then when you get to the playoffs, I feel like I'm arguing against the manager that I picked.
I know.
But you get to the playoffs, and then you start, like, this is not just these two.
Yeah.
Managers start pushing the panic button in the playoffs, and it's like, what's gotten you there? Like, why are you taking out your starter in the fourth inning who's been really good? Because, I'll take Dave Roberts,
okay.
But I'm not happy about it.
That's okay.
Not happy about
Let's move to starters.
Okay.
What do you got?
Starting rotation. I will take the New York Yankees. The Dodgers rotation's just kind of in shambles. Like, what are they? I don't know. Noah Syndergaard's offering up children to be a better pitcher. Julio's hurt. Clayton Kershaw is good. But, like, you're dealing with a bunch of injuries. You're dealing with – Bobby Miller's come up and thrown – what, twice at this point? Like, are we counting on him? He's going to pitch in the series, I believe, against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a massive test for him. You're just dealing with injuries and a pitcher that is mentally clearly not where he needs to be because he's, again, offering up children, which I don't agree with. And then on the Yankees side of things, Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino has been really good. Domingo German has been good, but it might be because of sticky stuff. But I digress. I think his suspension ends by that point. You always come with the starting.
I do. I have.
Domingo
Are you ready
pitching
for this?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it.
No, I'm not yet ready.
Oh.
I'm not yet ready. Because more along the lines, the Dodgers rotation ERA ranks 22nd in baseball. The Yankees are 5th. How's that for stats? Put that in your stat pipe and smoke it.
Uh-huh. Well, let's break it down, okay?
Let's break it down.
Let's talk about the matchups. I'm taking the Dodgers.
Yeah, let's look at this. Look at this board.
Just let me explain, okay? Friday, you got Kershaw against Severino.
Great matchup.
I'm going to take Kershaw. Yes, okay, he's had a tough last couple of starts. I feel like this can be his bounce back game.
What do you mean you feel? It's just a, is this a?
It's going to be his bounce back game.
Okay.
It's going to be his bounce back game.
Okay.
He's 6-4 with 3.32 ERA
pitcher.
Of the
Kershaw's
season.
Kershaw's the best pitcher on
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, so okay.
Now,
taking
especially
it.
With Julio.
Saturday, Michael Grove against Gerrit Cole. You're taking Gerrit Cole. You have to take Gerrit Cole.
Yes.
Amazing. Okay. Rubber match on Sunday. Bobby Miller, Domingo German. Miller, obviously, it's just been 2 games, but he's 2-0 in those 2 games with a 1.64 ERA. German is 3-3 with a 3.98 ERA. This is at Dodger Stadium, so I'm going to take the home team when it's a closer matchup like that. Out of those 3 games and those matchups, who would you take?
The
still?
Yankees.
Still?
Yeah.
All right.
Look,
we'll agree to disagree here.
I don't know this for a fact, but I would. This is a great matchup. Is this the Sunday night game, Dodgers Yankees?
Let's see. It's at 4:10 p.m.
4:10 p.m.
Pacific. So, yeah. Sunday night game.
Okay, so yeah. Bobby Miller against the New York Yankees in his third ever start
at Dodger Stadium.
National television at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, I like Bobby Miller. I think he's going to be great in his career, but you know, like. This is going to be I'll take the Yankees in this series.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
We haven't done bullpen yet.
Bullpen.
Shocker. Alex is all on the Dodgers so far.
No, I took the Yankees.
Well, we haven't even gotten here yet, but I was going to this is how if there is a single world in which you took the Dodgers bullpen over the New York Yankees bullpen.
I cannot argue the Dodgers bullpen over the Yankees bullpen. I can argue all the other ones, great points, but no.
Yankees. The Yankees have the best bullpen ERA.
I know.
Clay Holmes, Michael King, Wandy Peralta's been really good. The names go on in the bullpen.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have the fifth worst
bullpen
ERA.
I'm reasonable.
You're not, though.
I am.
Yeah, this one like hits you right in the face, and there's no way around it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always going to root
for
my team.
I'm on the Yankees for three.
And fight for my team. I'm taking the Dodgers to win the series.
Okay.
Yeah, who you taking?
The Yankees.
Okay. It's all like Donkey Kong. I love LA. We're going to win. Okay, cool. Tale of tape. Good stuff. Before we wrap things up, let's have some more fun, right?
Yeah.
Time for some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions. By the way, Saturday game for that series on Fox.
Yeah.
This is a good weekend series.
I know.
All right.
This is going to be a great weekend series.
Twitter questions.
Okay. First one comes from Taylor. Hey, Ben, I live in, Lakeland?
Yep.
Yeah. And was wondering, what was your favorite place you visited in Central Florida while living here?
In Central Florida. Okay. Couple things come to mind.
Okay.
One being, this isn't technically Central Florida. Maybe we'll just go vertically and not horizontally central.
What do you mean?
Wait.
So not in the middle,
no, maybe
but like,
we'll, no,
it's
maybe,
still on the coast, but in the middle?
Maybe we'll go horizontally vertical.
What?
I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
I like Clearwater, which is on the water,
well,
but
yeah,
in the
stunning.
Middle. Yeah, Clearwater.
Stunning.
I like Clearwater. Are you going to consider that Central Florida?
Sure.
I don't know. Depends on if you're going horizontal or vertical. And apparently I need to do some homework on my horizontal and vertical. I'm going to go. I like Clearwater a lot. I spend a lot of time in Clearwater. Obviously played in the Florida State League for like 2.5 years. Spent a lot of time in Florida and was in Lakeland, as you mentioned. So in our same division was Tampa, the Tampa Yankees.
Oh, looks like he's in Tampa. His photo.
Yeah, so that stadium, the Bucks stadium, is literally...
It's right by Clearwater.
If you're standing, Tampa and Clearwater are very close. Yeah. But if you're standing at home plate in Yankee Stadium down there in Tampa Yankee Stadium, it's like in deep right center field.
Yeah.
Like if I hit a home run, I don't know, maybe 1,500 feet, it would hit the stadium.
Okay.
So they're close. I spent a lot of time in Tampa, a lot of time in Clearwater, and a lot of time in Dunedin. Don't love Dunedin, love Clearwater. Central Florida, for sure, is Orlando. I like Universal and Disney.
That's cool.
I'll say that.
That's cool.
Yep.
All right. Kay. Moving on to our next fan question. This one comes from Jay Hernandez. Kay. Ben, this might be an overreaction question, but do you think the White Sox should consider rebuilding?
I would say absolutely yes, but I would say start with the owner, and I don't know how you can do that. It's kind of his team to own. But in terms of the question that you're specifically asking, I think it's a no-brainer, yes. I mean, the product on the field ain't working. You know, like you have a rotation. Lance Lynn is struggling, to say the least. So I think you can keep certain pieces. I would say, like, build around Dylan Cease and Luis Robert. But other than that, like, the team you built ain't working. So... sure. Well, you get to the trade deadline, sell off some pieces, get some stuff for players and kind of, you know, not like a full rebuild, but like a soft rebuild.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like a soft rebuild, half rebuild.
Yeah.
get what you can for players. Okay. And, you know, like, say this year is going to be a struggle. Give up on this year. Rebuild for the future. I think that absolutely needs to happen because it's a mess.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. One more fan question. This one comes from Jeremy. Okay. How far can Ben punt a football? Have you ever punted a football?
I'm a good punter of a
football. Are you?
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should have my buddy, Marquette King. He's the current XFL champ, former Raiders punter.
He's your buddy?
Yeah. He's a good friend.
And did you say Marquette?
Yeah.
So his name is Marquette.
Yeah. Everyone calls him Marquette, but it's like really Marquette is how you're supposed to. People call him both. But yeah, we should have him give us a lesson next time he's here in LA.
Yeah.
And we should do a fun, like, punting. He's also a power couple. His girlfriend, Michaela, is like the number one top-ranked boxer.
You know what we should do? Because one of my good friends was also a punter. His name's Drew Kazer. Was with the San Diego Chargers for a while. And then when they moved up here and played at the Galaxy Stadium.
Yeah.
He's not in the league anymore. But we should have them both. And we should be on the receiving end of punts, which is very difficult.
Oh, that's terrifying.
But it's so much fun.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to get hit in the face. I'm going to get a black eye.
It's going to be great.
I want to punt it and I want you to catch it. I was a soccer player. I feel like, and I was like, I would take like.
Yeah, I'm not doubting your kicking skills. I'm a good punter as well, I feel. A kickoff. Punt, pass, and kick competition.
Ooh, I'm in. Okay. I'm going to text him right now and see if he's into that.
Okay. Well, wait till the end of the show because.
Okay.
That does it for Friday episode. Saturday with Smoltz is coming tomorrow. Saturday. Some great conversations. Will anybody in history again get to the 300 win mark? Alek Manoah, what is going on with Alek Manoah? Some great questions. Is Craig Kimbrell a Hall of Famer? We got some good stuff to talk about. But that comes tomorrow. For this episode, it is all over, and I'm going to go back to eating my
Julio's.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe we just did that. We're done. We're done here. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever. We're also on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And you can watch everything we do on YouTube at Flippin' Bats Pod for all of them. For this Friday episode, that does it. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy Saturday with Smoltz tomorrow. But until then, peace.